I think there is an urgent need for a royal commission into what has happened in the entire Murray-Darling Basin, not just the Darling. I think we need a forensic examination into where and how and for how much water has been acquired. And it's a disgrace that all Australians should hang their heads in shame over that we have allowed this to happen to Australia's longest and most iconic river.
You are listening to The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, a radio series interviewing real people living along the Barwon-Darling River system in Western New South Wales, outback Australia. Please stay tuned.
Sarah Moles is a Darling River warrior living in Warwick or near Warwick. She's been acutely aware of what's been happening with diversion of water from the rivers for decades. She's released a book called The Dying Darling in 2007. I interviewed Sarah in Brisbane, and I know that you'll find this interview very informative because she knows a lot. So here's River Warrior, Sarah Moles. Sarah, how and where did you first become aware that the Darling River Basin was at risk of collapse?
I probably became aware of the plight of the Darling in about the mid-1990s. I was involved in a catchment management committee. Our catchment was already well and truly allocated, and it didn't take very long to find out that similar things were happening in pretty much all the other tributaries, all the other major tributaries of the Darling River. So it became very obvious that inflows to the Barwon-Darling were being dramatically reduced by the rapid and aggressive expansion of the irrigation industry in the north.
How serious is the situation in the Darling River Basin?
On the Darling itself, I'd say it's critical. If the Darling was a person, we are talking intensive care, life support systems. It's suffering multiple chronic systemic illnesses. When you look at some of the tributaries, the damage is less obvious. I'm very lucky in that I live in the extreme headwaters. There's very little water extracted above me, so it still looks and is healthy. But as you travel downstream, the more obvious the impacts of irrigation become. Well, by the time you get to Bourke, where all the tributaries flow through Bourke, the cumulative impacts are really, really obvious. The low flows have disappeared. The capacity of the irrigation industry to take water has so massively increased, and the periods of no flow are getting longer and longer and longer.
What would you say are the potential outcomes if the Darling River is not restored?
Absolutely tragic and a disgrace. Tragic for the country that I love. Tragic for Indigenous people who are deeply connected to it. Tragic for graziers who are trying to make a living. And tragic for the land itself, because it will no longer be nourished by the water that used to flow through it. And it's a disgrace that all Australians should hang their heads in shame over that we have allowed this to happen to Australia's longest and most iconic river. The land will get drier and drier and drier, and we're already witnessing changes to the rainfall pattern and the capacity of the country to absorb whatever rainfall it gets. My observation, and the observation of many landholders within, say, 200 or 300 kilometres of where I live, is that whilst the amount of rainfall may not have shifted very much, the pattern in which it falls has changed a lot. And instead of good winter rains, for example, on the high country where I live, that just doesn't happen anymore. We get two or three great big chunks in a year, and the capacity of the country to absorb that when it becomes so desiccated and so brittle, I suspect that we will see massive erosion because the land, the soils will dry out so much that they will powder. It won't act like a sponge anymore and be able to soak that water up and so recharge groundwater sources. So we will potentially see a lot of soil loss. That means more silt in the river. It'll be a drain. And that's pretty much what a lot of irrigators who don't give a toss about the river regard it as anyway. It's a channel to deliver water and then take our wastes away.
Can you see human rights being affected by what is happening to the Lower Darling River?
They are. Look what's I don't think it's a stretch to say what's happening to Indigenous communities around Wilcannia and Menindi as genocide. We are allowing their culture to be destroyed for want of water.
What do we want?
Water.
When do we want it?
Now. Yeah.
What do we got?
Nothing.
What do we want?
Water.
What do we got?
Water.
What do we want?
Water.
What do we want? What do we got? What do we want?
I don't think it's a stretch to say what's happening to Indigenous communities around Wilcannia and Menindi as genocide. We are allowing their culture to be destroyed for want of water. And they have been conspicuously under-consulted in the process of developing the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. The focus of consultation about the plan has been irrigation-dependent communities. Only very lately has it involved consulting with communities that stand to benefit by more water in the rivers. Mostly it's been about the negatives, about the impact, how much less cotton production, how much less agricultural production we will get in a town that is now largely dependent on agriculture.
Look what they've done to Menindi. Menindi was a thriving jewel in the desert, wasn't it?
Yep.
Before.
Well, you know, and if you go back before that, it was a spectacularly bountiful natural system of lakes before we got in there and engineered it.
You are listening to The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, a radio series interviewing real people living along the Barwon-Darling River system in western New South Wales, outback Australia.
Do you think there's a need for a federal royal commission into water trading and pumping allocations in the Darling River Basin?
I think there is an urgent need for a royal commission into what has happened in the entire Murray-Darling Basin, not just the Darling. I think we need a forensic examination into where and how and for how much water has been acquired and of the value that some of the water that has been purchased will actually have for the environment.
And how are we going to bring that about?
Oh, people have to demand it, just as people demanded a royal commission into banks. And I think that's growing, and it will be very interesting to see the recommendations that come out of the South Australian Royal Commission into the River Murray. Questions need to be asked, and people must be able to be subpoenaed and compelled to answer questions about what has gone on over the last, let's say, 10 years, although it probably goes back a lot longer than that. In terms of the Murray-Darling Basin Plan and the water recovery process, I mean, you know, we're talking $13 billion of taxpayers' money. Taxpayers have a right to know who was responsible for how the money was spent and what bang we got for our taxpayers' buck. That is a matter of enormous public interest. Let's not forget that when water property rights were created, that was a huge, huge, huge windfall given to license holders, that they could sell those entitlements separate from their land. And on top of that, we've now got $13 billion, not all of which has been wisely spent, and people need to understand who benefited and why and how those decisions were made.
Can you just briefly run us by how inter-river water trading works?
You're asking someone that doesn't actually like the whole notion of water trading. So let's just put that up front. So how does it work? Badly. For an irrigator in even the Condamine Ballon to be able to trade water with someone in the Goulburn in Victoria, two completely separate river systems, I'm sorry, that just does not compute. I do not understand. It makes no sense to me.
Most people in the suburbs don't even know that you can buy water in Queensland and actually sell it
to
in
someone.
Victoria.
Yeah, yeah.
And they think that they're putting in water in trucks. It's going to be trucked down there.
Mm.
That's what they think, but it's not.
No. It was done for reasons of economic, there's that word again, efficiency, rather than for any environmental outcome.
We had this idea that we could crowdfund and get every Australian to chuck in $50 and actually buy the Darling River back.
It's not a crazy idea. I would really, really like to have a conversation around, let's leave the water and allow the water to do what the water does. And we can irrigate in some places and we'll let floodplains get wet in other places and we'll make sure fish spawn in various places, etc., etc., etc. And then we, as a bunch of sophisticated and intelligent people, can have a conversation around how do we as a society share the wealth that all that water generates in all its uses in a fair and equitable way. And I think that's how Indigenous people think about it. It's, you know, the notion of owning water seems completely alien to them, but they very much understand how to share the benefits amongst their whole mob. And we have a lot to learn from them about how to do that.
This is The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling. Interviews with real people affected by ever-diminishing flows along Australia's iconic Darling River. The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, is produced by Earthling Studios at Grassy Head, New South Wales. Executive producer, Mark Merritt. Field coordinators and technical assistants by Susie Peake and Kath Eaglesham. Interviews by Mark Merritt and Kath Eaglesham. Voice overs by Sally Hook. Please write to us with your feedback. Post Office Box 30, Stewart's Point, New South Wales, 2441.
The Darling is dying, please take my word.
The Darling River and Menindi Lakes are in crisis. We are working hard to bring out and share the personal lived stories and facts surrounding the problem to the people of Australia and around the world. To find out more about issues and matters related to the Darling River, go to the Vanishing River website, www.thevanishingriver.com.au. thevanishingriver.com.au.
I don't think they seem to realise if the rivers die, we all virtually are stuffed, aren't we?